Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
James, I have wonderful news.
Hello.
Our podcast, Off Menu, has been nominated in two categories at the British Podcast Award, James.
What the hell is a podcast?
Okay, we've been nominated in Best Entertainment and Best Comedy Podcast, which is very, very exciting. But also, like all the rest of the podcasts, we're up for the Listener Choice Award, James, which is voted for by the listeners.
Okay, I'm sorry, this is all a lot of news at once. Who is listening to us?
Lots of people are listening to us, James, and hopefully we're their favourite podcast. And they can prove that by going on to britishpodcastawards.com/vote. And they can vote for the Off-Menu podcast with Ed Gamble and James Acaster. And then maybe we'll win another award. That'll be three awards under the belt, presuming we win the other two, which I am presuming.
So if the listeners win, they'll leave us alone. Great. Please vote for us and make sure we win. And just leave us alone forever. Okay, our lives are our own. We're making these little recordings for our own prosperity. We just want to hear the conversations we have with our friends. I didn't know all you guys were listening to this stuff. Benito, you betrayed me.
If you are a listener, I knew you were listening and you're very welcome. And hopefully we'll be the listener's choice. So go on to britishpodcastawards.com/vote to vote for the Off-Menu podcast with Ed Gamble and James Acaster as your favourite podcast.
If you just swirl the podcast around in your ears, it gets more air to it and it tastes a lot better. Welcome to the Off Menu podcast.
Nice one, Ed Gamble. How are you?
Very well, James Acaster. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Spick and span.
Spick and span.
Is that a phrase for how you doing? Yes.
That's the catchphrase. Yes, welcome to the Off Menu podcast, the food podcast, where we have a special guest and we ask them what, James?
We ask them what their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink ever is.
Yes, that's exactly the way we say it every week. Thank you very much for tuning in / downloading the pod. Our guest this week is the wonderful stand-up comedian Ivo Graham. One of the best we've got, I think.
One of the best we've got as in like
comedians
about like class-wise.
We as in like the nation.
I thought you were just saying, like, you know,
about poshies.
You and your poshies.
Yeah. One of the best we've got. Thank God there's someone out there fighting. Yeah. In this goddamn society where apparently you look down upon if you've got a bit of bloody money in the bank. Finally, we've got a crusader out there doing the right thing for us. No, I meant in the nation. He's one of the best
in the nation. Very, very, very funny man.
Very funny man. And this is a higher energy episode than I was expecting because just before we recorded with Ivo, we ate approximately a loaf of bread each.
We have eaten a lot of sandwiches. We got some delicious sandwiches delivered to us. From
Sons and Daughters Sandwich Shop, which I'm not sure when this episode's coming out, but go and check that sandwich shop out. It's at Coldrops Yard near King's Cross. And honestly, we got sent a range of sandwiches. A chicken sandwich that was incredible. Yeah. That had crispy chicken skin in it.
Yes, that chicken sandwich is, I'm thinking about it still.
An egg sandwich with crisps in it. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
A broccoli sandwich. Doesn't sound fun, but it was.
What was the sandwich that had actual like French fries in it?
The lamb merguez sausage sandwich.
That one as well. That one and so the chicken good. One. I've eaten so many of them. But delicious. Thank you for those.
Yeah, thank you very much for sending that in. The guys who run that also run the restaurant Pigeon, which Jamie Dimitri talked about at great length in his off-menu episode. So there you go. Yes. It all links up.
What's nice about Pigeon and Sons and Daughters is that they don't kick you out the restaurant if you say a certain ingredient.
No, they don't, but we do, don't we?
We absolutely do.
We do.
We're going to kick Ivo Graham out if he mentions quince.
Quince.
So now, expect him to go out during the water course, I imagine.
He might mention quince. He's a big posh boy, like we previously mentioned, and they love a bit of quince.
Yeah, so we're setting that quince mousetrap out for him.
So, if he mentions quince, he's out on his ear. Hopefully he won't, because he's a lovely guy.
Let's see how it goes. Oh, Ivo. Oh, look, his chauffeur's driving him here right now, pulling up in the driveway.
Beep, beep.
Oh, hello, Jeeves. Let him in.
Ivo Graham, welcome to the Dream Restaurants.
Hello.
Welcome, Ivo Graham.
Hello, James.
You're looking well.
Thanks, James.
Looking great. Have you made a special effort for the Dream Restaurant so that you look ultra sharp?
Yeah, I've ironed my shirt, nice. but I've undone the process by I got an Uber and got hot and so took off the shirt and got stuck in it in the back of the Uber and I've undone all the ironing that I did.
Hang on, you took off?
Oh no, I was
wearing... You were topless in the Uber? No.
Well, briefly, but only because I was wearing a T-shirt underneath this shirt. No, I didn't just take off my collared shirt in the Uber just so I could be topless for a bit.
So hang on, let's set the scene again. So you had a T-shirt on and a shirt over the top, which you'd ironed.
Yes, exactly.
In the Uber, you took off the shirt that you'd ironed.
I'd broken into a Swift pace on this hot September day because I'd sent the chap to the wrong street
that felt like a euphemism.
Is that an Eton thing?
No, it's not an Eton thing, but I'm glad to have ticked that
now
off
so
early.
Now and again, when you're away at school, you do need to send the chap to the wrong street.
So I mean, listen, we can turn everything I say into a euphemism for my time at Eton. Of course I came here slightly expecting it.
Yeah, slightly.
I listened to a podcast where Ed took a load of flack from James for saying that you'd eaten grouse with shot in it. And I was like, maybe I'm not going to be such a posh little figure of fun on this podcast.
Yes, that's true.
But then I shouldn't have started dishing out the Eton catchphrases so early. I thought the undershirt shirt's got to go, but obviously the overshirt's got to come off to take the under off, and as we used to say at Eton. But I couldn't be bothered to undo all the buttons on the overshirt, so I whisked it off. Undershirt came off no problem. It's a T-shirt. It's a swift operation. Yeah. And then
let's turn this Uber into a boober. Wait, when you got topless, you shouted out, let's send this Uber into a
boober?
He
said it first.
Yeah,
it was so pleased. But it was trying to put the collared shirt back on with about half of its buttons done up. That was where
So you were topless in the Uber for a while?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. I wonder whether that...
He actually then said, let's turn it back into an Uber now.
Please.
I wonder whether that how that affected your rating, positively or negatively.
I don't know. I'll have to check my data later in the day.
We'll check later on in the day.
Very excited.
But yeah, sorry, what a needlessly long story about whether I've got ready nicely for today.
Yes, but still
I find that I very rarely, because I'm frequently find myself in more of a dash than I'd like to be. Mm-hmm. There's so many times that I've taken measures which are nice, which are then immediately undone. A classic is the shower and then having to break into a run, thus getting more. But it's the shower that made you late in the first place. Yeah. That I say is a sort of thrice weekly affair. And ironing a shirt only then to mega crease it in a boober because the ironing related delay led to you being so hot that you had to change in the Uber. That's vintage Graham.
Yeah, absolutely.
At Eton, of course, we wore a tailcoat and it was even worse.
One of my favourite stories about you is related to food.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm getting at?
I don't know.
I've got one as well.
Oh, good.
Well, it must be. Maybe it's the same one. Can you talk about when you supported Jack D on tour?
Oh, no. Yes. Two answers. I'll go with... I did a few dates in the autumn of 2017 supporting Jack D on his sort of... It doesn't matter. Work in progress tour around the home counties. Obviously, he goes further with the finished material. But understandably. What I'm not trying to do here is make Jack D sound lazy. So in Hemel Hempstead, I supported him and I hadn't had dinner and there was a curry house around the corner from the venue which had caught my eye on the way in. So I got a really lovely and quite large takeaway curry. But it was one of the earliest dates of tour and I wanted to listen to Jack. So I thought, yeah, I'm really going to treat myself. I'm going to sit backstage. I'm going to sit sort of side of stage and sort of listen to / watch Jack from the side. And I got, because you couldn't, it was a dressing room where you couldn't hear the show from the dressing room and it didn't have a one of those systems where you can sort of turn up on a microphone. So I carried a table through. I got knife and fork. It was real like napkin in the shirt, and just started eating my curry. Like, you know when you lay out a curry,
you really get yourself established.
It's so nice. It's you know, plate in front of you, and then rice on one side, curry in front, and then the naan to the left.
Yeah. The curry clock.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And at about 9:15. Jack D on stage suddenly said, "Can anyone smell cuppa soup?" and it hadn't not occurred to me that it was quite a strong smelling curry. But I thought that's not like
he's a professional. He's not going to reference what he can smell in the room, right?
And I was frozen at the clock, just unsure of whether I could. And the fact that I'd like move the table and stuff as well. It was such an obviously.
Just imagine you with the napkin tucked in, with your knife and fork just suddenly freezing.
D looking to the side of the stage to see this new comic laid out a banquet for himself with a napkin tucked into his shirt.
Newer comic, James, you know. After a decade in the game, you can have the odd curry and Hemel, but not with Jack. But also, there was a curtain in front of me, which if he'd pulled it aside, everyone in the crowd would have been able to see it.
The Wizard of Oz.
I was praying that he wouldn't do that.
I think in your situation, I've been praying that he would. I mean, this would be great.
Really?
Yeah, if he pulls this aside and everyone sees me.
I think I was just frozen there, just not knowing, feeling so embarrassed being caught. You know, in the Peep Show wedding episode when Jez wets himself and it starts going through the floorboards into the church, and Mark goes, "Nothing this bad has ever happened to anyone. I must be." And I was like, I was thinking, I mean, obviously that's pretty overdramatic for just having a sly curry and getting caught. But I was just so obsessed with the fact that it was such an immediately stupid thing to have done. And it betrayed so much of my own like greed as well, because I think I'd said before the gig, like, "We're going to get dinner," and Jack said, "No, I think it'll be all right." So it looked like a show of petulance. So I was like, "Well, if you're not going to grant me the dinner I crave, then I'll just get it myself and waft it into your work in progress show."
Now, the story that I was going to ask for, I'm not sure if you'd be up for telling it, and you don't have to, is a story you only very recently told me involving food, and I believe it was a katsu curry involved in this.
Oh,
one.
No.
I haven't heard this.
Yeah, okay. So I did 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. We filmed it in March, I think, and it's yet to be broadcast, as I'm assured it will be. But I, to be honest, as much as obviously a great show as it was to go on and a privilege, I did find it quite stressful and I wasn't good enough at Countdown, the actual like playing the game. Mm-hmm. Which I thought, like, oh, at least I'll be good at the maths and the numbers games. And I found it quite intimidating because, as well as all the sort of top-tier comic cast, I was on the same team as guest team captain Richard Iwadi, right, who I'm a fan of his work. We'd only met once before, and that's when he'd seen me sitting in a hot tub with Big Nasty in a tailcoat during an ill-advised chat about privilege for the pilot of Big Nasty's TV show, which I think Victoria Cara Mitchell once described to you as Big Nasty's show, where at one point he had some Eton butler in a hot tub.
It's exactly how she described it.
Not even the acknowledgement that I was a stand-up comedian doing a job.
She called you an Eton butler.
And so I thought, this, I've got to get myself back on a good track with Iwadi here. But I'd already let myself down by wearing, my mum had got me quite a fancy shirt for Christmas, and when I'd gone to get it changed, it was the wrong size. The woman in the shop said, oh, this is a shop where Richard Iwadi buys all his clothes for the Crystal Maze, because they're sort of quite funny patterned shirts. So I thought, wouldn't it be nice, A, to wear the shirt my mum got me on telly, but also it'd be funny to be on Richard Iwadi's team and wear a shirt from the same company. He'll find that funny. As soon as I told him, it became clear what a terrible idea, because he's very dry, obviously, and not one to hugely go over the top with sort of an emotional reaction to anything. So he just looked so baffled and disappointed. And immediately you're like, yeah, I'm a fan who's dressed up as you for this gig. So I felt like a bit of a chump. Also, I had my mascot. They wanted something to do with Eton. Fair enough. I've got a USP and I've got to work it. And I told them that at Eton they would make figurines of you in your full tails as a present for family members. Good. And even though I said that I actually hadn't got one of those, they'd said, "Oh, we'll just make one, and then you can say you have and you can put it on the desk." So they'd got a full length photo of me wearing my Eton tails, 13 years old, not a kid in the world, and that was my mascot. It wasn't a very funny mascot. I didn't have a lot to say about it. I didn't really know when I was allowed to take it off the desk because of continuity, so it just sort of sat awkward there in front of me as I was bad at maths wearing Richard Iwadi's shirt. And then afterwards we were getting a train back from Stockport. It's filmed in Manchester, and Richard and I were both getting the train back, but we got separate cars there, and when I got to the station I couldn't see him anywhere, and I got on the train thinking, well, maybe he didn't come, maybe he stayed in Manchester, or maybe he got a different train or whatever. And they'd given us dinner, because we hadn't had dinner before the show, and you know how I insist on having a dinner at some point in proceedings. Yeah. Yeah. And they'd given us a Wagamama, so I had a lovely cold chicken katsu curry, but no cutlery to eat it with, and I couldn't find cutlery anywhere in the train. And Richard Iwadi appeared on the train behind me. He saw me before I saw him as I was attempting to eat a chicken katsu curry using the figurine of me at Eton as my fork. And it was such a low point. It was so, like, sort of dipping myself in my katsu. Because it was the only utensil to hand.
Because from his perspective, he's just turned up to work, and a young man has come up to him and gone, I bought my shirt from the same place as you. And then on the train on the way back, he's seen him eating a curry with a picture of himself.
It doesn't send a good message. So I don't know if I'll have any further professional encounters with Richard Iwadi, but I think there's even more riding on the third one.
So, as always, we start with still or sparkling water, Ivo. What's your preference?
I would like still water, please. Ideally, tap water, complimentary tap water.
Now, why? Because is this because you're trying to appear like an everyman?
No, I think that's gone. I think I've said goodbye to that already on this and other appearances. But I think, for me, I suppose there is an everyman thing in that I'm quite... I've spent a lot of my adult life being quite sort of anxious about money and feeling quite keen to go to a restaurant and have a nice time, but for there not to be too many frills. And I consider a drink a frill.
Yeah.
So, if I'm at, you know, if I'm going for lunch with someone and it feels a slightly indulgent thing to do, I comfort myself with the thought of a nice glass of still water to sit and a huge sense of relief when someone else goes for still water first.
Right.
Just a couple of glasses of tap water and go, oh yeah, actually that seems that makes sense. And I think it's it does feel quite a vulgar thing to pay for, and I'd probably put sparkling water in that as well. And my mum was a big believer in that restaurants should fulfil their legal obligation to provide free tap water.
This is a legal issue.
It is a legal requirement.
Yes.
But not in certain parts of Europe. And that's why. No. On a family trip, my mum made us leave a restaurant because they were charging us for tap water, and she'd evidently decided that it was some sort of standoff that she needed to call their bluff on, which was quite admirable in hindsight. But it's a bit of a faff when you're like you're a young family, and you know. But I respect it.
Then you have to find somewhere else to eat.
Yes.
It's all very well and good in the moment, being like, good day to you, and I'm walking out.
And then you're outside, and you're like...
And that's the one place to have lunch in this town.
What does anyone else fancy to eat now?
Well, also, you go to the next place, and if they're charging for tap water as well, you go, well, how long is this charrette, you know?
Yeah.
Are we never going to eat again?
It's clearly just the custom.
Yeah. But I think a nice, still water.
So you like to start the meal by kind of like just... dealing with your mental state first. I put all my anxieties to one side by having this guilt-free tap water, and that makes me feel like the rest of it isn't too much of an indulgence.
Yeah, like I've already shown sort of a certain degree of respect and now I can cut loose a little bit with a couple of sides, which undermines the whole thing. But also, I love water.
Yeah,
I love
big shout.
I love having water with me out and about.
Yes.
I love. I have so many bottles of refrigerated water in my fridge.
You always have a bottle of water. You have a bottle of water in your pocket when you're on stage.
There's no reputation I crave more than always having a bottle of water. That's music to my ears.
Well, that's what I think. When someone says describe Ivor Graham, I'd probably go Etonian first.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'd follow up with hydrated.
Etonian, but funnily enough, loves tap.
Rumoured to be a merman.
And when I do a gig like up the creek in Greenwich, you get those little glass bottles.
Mm.
I love getting as many of those as I can and taking them home. And not like more than one per gig.
Now, have you not?
What do you do when you take them home? Kiss them all.
Fill them with water. Put them in the fridge, and then there's nothing better than remembering to take one with you when you leave the house on a hot day.
Have you not jumped on board with the one water bottle, reusable water bottle?
No, I've got a couple of those and lost them, and that doesn't feel great.
It's probably even worse for the environment, that, isn't it?
What?
Losing all the reusable ones.
Losing loads of reusable ones.
Well, it's not easy to remember, you know, a water bottle.
I agree with you,
mate. And that's why I try to have as many as possible in the house, because I just have to accept that stuff will get lost along the way.
How many have you got in your house right now?
I'd say probably seven.
Seven in the fridge?
Yeah. Looks like the house from Signs.
I've not seen Signs.
It's a great joke.
I think I've got a couple of the Highland Spring ones from up the creek, which are sort of quite triangular, and then a couple of my local pub has Strathmore ones.
Yes,
the Strathmore glass ones, which are more of a sort of fat bottom, and then and the top half is thinner. Which I actually that's my favourite.
Your favourite is the Strathmore.
Yeah, and I've got a couple of blues. And a green.
The fat bottom waters.
There was a period in July when I was doing, I was trying to write my Edinburgh show, and the pub down the road from us was showing the cricket every day during the World Cup. And I thought, I won't take my phone because that's my main distraction, but I'd like to go to a pub in the daytime with the cricket on, because it's something you can sort of glance at but ignore. I need a little bit of distraction, a little bit of reward. And I would always go in and have a glass bottle of Strathmore and then take it home with me. And that was it. July was such a net profit month for getting loads of these little bottles and taking them home. And I've since lost a few of them. But it was, and also by after a few days, the woman in there would know when I came in. So she was reaching for the glass bottle of Strathmore before I'd even got to the bar. And that's always a nice feeling.
I mean, you're saying you want tap water, but surely you'd prefer a bottle of Strathmore and then you'd take the bottle with you.
Mm. Yeah, that's actually a good point. And then I've got a souvenir from the Dream Restaurant.
Yes.
Or do you want to bring your own bottle of empty bottle of Strathmore and we'll fill it with tap water for you?
No, I think I'd like to add another one to my collection, particularly if it had some sort of Dream Restaurant branding on it.
Sure, yeah. So Strathmore, but if you look very closely at the drawing of the lake on it, it's me.
Yeah.
I'm swimming in the lake as a genie.
Do genies swim?
This genie does.
Lovely.
I can swim, yeah. Pop an absorb bread! Pop an absorb bread, Ivo! Pop an absorb bread!
What a moment.
You jumped.
Well, what was
you
annoying?
Did jump.
What was annoying,
I'm quite
was,
pleased with that.
I like the podcast and I've listened to it a lot and I've thought I'm not going to get bamboozled by this poppadoms or bread business. But obviously you're a master of your craft and what you've made me do is you've made me picture you swimming in the Strathmore Lake. And I was having such a nice time picturing that logo. And also I was thinking about when I was thinking about if I got a bottle with that specific logo, whether I would feel comfortable taking it out of the house. Right. Because sometimes if I'm leaving in a bit of a hurry and I'm not feeling very organised, and particularly if I'm down to only a couple of glass bottles, I'm like, no, it's let's not do this actually. It's too much of a, I don't want to get to zero.
Yeah, sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
So,
yeah.
So that's why I was caught so unawares by poppadoms or bread, because the man in the lake was shouting at me. And my answer would be, if I may, can I have dough balls?
I'll allow dough balls.
Can I have Pizza Express dough balls?
It's just bread. Yeah. It's just disguised bread, right?
It's disguised, but not even that well disguised.
No, not well disguised. No.
Hiding in plain sight. Yeah. Disguised.
Just wearing a butter veil.
Yeah. You would like Pizza Express dough balls?
Yeah.
Probably a lot of listeners to this podcast agreeing with you there and annoyed that they've never thought of that.
Well, I'm sure people have thought of it.
I
claim that I'm being massively original, but Pizza Express, I wanted Pizza Express represented somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's because it's I just love
it's
Pizza Express so much. Yeah.
It's a British institution.
I didn't really feel I could have, there's a few leading candidates for Maine. I thought, I can't have a pizza. But again, dough balls are a classic example of something where, even though, like, things are going okay, I can spend £3.50 or whatever on some dough balls. If I ever go to Pizza Express, unless it's been a really good day, part of me looks at the dough balls and goes, no, come on. your pizza's made of dough, even though it's what I want so much.
Yeah.
Tap water, please. No dough balls. And we're away. But ideally, I get the dough balls doppio, which are where there's you get twice as many and you get more sauces.
Oh, okay.
More dips.
What are the other dips?
One's red, one's green. It's great. they're sort of pesto-y things, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, the garlic butter is still...
That's the key, right?
That's the key.
Yeah, you're rolling it around. How much coverage are you getting on each dough ball with the butter?
I'm going back in.
Yeah.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going in more than once per dough ball. And yeah. I'd probably, actually, if I could have... So the dough ball's doppio, it's three, but I'd probably get rid of the red one and have another garlic butter, I think.
Yeah.
Because I can't have more than three. I want to play by the Pizza Express rules.
Yes.
But there's never quite enough garlic butter,
they
really.
They would let you sub that out, I think.
I think they wouldn't bring me extra, but they'd sub in.
I think they've really cracked onto something pretty good there, because God knows how much it costs them to make that. It's
probably
1p or something.
It's
because it's just pizza dough. It's the same stuff, they just put it in a different shape.
Doughs and butter.
But it's so—it's always browned to such a perfect level. I love looking at it. I'm never looking at it for long before it's gone. But I try to relish even for a couple of seconds. How? I mean, it's almost too. Very occasionally, I think I'd like to see a more like blackened dough ball, just to sort of reassure me that it's not too clinical a process. But like most clinical processes, it is unnerving, but it is impressive.
Imagine you, like, you know, leaning back on two legs of your chair, flipping doubles into your mouth with a figurine of yourself.
Yeah.
Well, the dream is me playing table tennis with Richard Ayoade, and he's got a figurine of himself, but that, yeah. That dream seems,
going back and forth.
That seems further than ever from a possibility now.
Do you have a standard Pizza Express order in general? Do you always go for the same thing when you go in Pizza Express?
I'd usually go American hot, but I'm trying to do more veggie stuff now, so it would probably be more like a Fiorentina or something.
Uh-huh.
Now, I wonder if I've told you this before, because you're gonna laugh at me so much.
I don't think you have. My
standard Pizza Express order is American hot with extra cheese, because my dad ordered it once and I copied him.
Great. I do love that. Absolutely love it. How old were you?
Probably like 10 or 11. My dad had an American hot with extra cheese, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool, actually. I'll have that too.
I love Ed copying his dad when he's so young. He's that age. He's copying his dad's order. It's so great.
Oh, it's so sweet, though.
Yeah, and I still have it to this day.
Does your dad know you still have it to this day?
We've not been to a Pizza Express together in a while.
Okay.
We should. That was a big treat back in the day, Pizza Express.
Still one of my favourite stand-up performances I've ever seen was a little kid who was like, it was, you know, Barbara Nice?
Yeah.
She did it was a festival, and at the festival she had done a comedy workshop with a bunch of kids one day, and in the evening all the kids did a gig, and the gig was on before I was doing the show, so I stayed in there to watch the, I got there early and watched the kids' show. And there was one kid who clearly, like, she had about, like, 20 kids in one day she had to teach to do stand-up, so some of them she spent more time on.
Some of them slipped through the net.
Some of them she was like, do you know what? She just told this kid, look, if you, like, lift your arm up like that to the audience, they'll cheer.
Yeah.
So just do that. Just tell them the story you've told me, but make sure they cheer after everything. So he went on and went, how's it going? And they all cheered. And it was like, are you having a nice night? And they cheered again. And then he goes, me and my dad went to Alton Towers recently. Who's been to Alton Towers? and then he was doing the whole story of, like, went on this ride. And he went, then me and dad went for a pub lunch. Who likes a pub lunch? And he went, me and my dad both had a steak and kidney pie. And my favourite bit was, he went, who's had one of them? Who's had one of them? It's still one of my favourite. But I laughed so much for so long. But it was the fact that him and his dad both had a steak and kidney pie. It made me laugh even more.
Yeah, right.
They both had it. He covered his dad's order. Yeah.
And it was a kids' gig.
It was a kid, yeah.
But with their parents,
the audience,
there as well.
The audience was all, like, mainly adults, really.
I like the thought of him saying, who's had one of them? And lots of kids sat next to their dads, raising their hands in unison. Yeah. Loads of other pairs.
Pointing at their dads. You damn right I have. Pizza with extra cheese.
That's really nice. I don't think I know what my parents have. I don't think I've ever had a Pizza Express with my dad. Big call. I immediately think that I must have done at some point. But it's certainly the restaurant that I remember. I think it's the first restaurant I remember.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so exciting.
And it's still the same to this day. Everything's the same, I think. I don't think they've changed a lot. They've added things to the menu, sure. The Romana base, that's a fairly new.
Yes.
That pizza with a hole in the middle.
Nonsense.
Donut?
Donut?
Sounds like a donut. What I just described.
It's the Leggera pizza. It's supposed to be less calories, but they do that by cutting all the dough out of the middle of the pizza and filling it with salad.
And I'll tell you where that dough goes. Into those lovely dough balls. Yeah. So perfectly browned. I'm really pleased that no one else has had that on the podcast
before.
No,
they haven't. That's a great show.
And I do like to think that there'll be more people respecting the decision than suggesting that I'm breaking the rules in some way.
You're not, because it's bread.
It's arguably, and listen, I love poppadoms, and if I wasn't allowed doubles, I'd probably go poppadoms, but doubles are more bread than poppadoms are.
Yes.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. But you know, look, there's a lot of people. Sometimes when people don't choose poppadoms or bread for this first bit, we've had Desiree chose
tortilla chips
and stuff. Mm. Some people listen to the podcast, kick off about it, get a little bit annoyed. All I will say is, we're going to make a lot of these episodes, so maybe enjoy a bit of variety. if people are changing it up, enjoy it.
You're going to need those.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that someone else does dough balls at some point later down the line, but doesn't specify the doppio with the extra sauce.
Replacing the red with the
extra dips, one of which is then replaced again by the original garlic butter. Some people have enough of the garlic butter left over to put it on their pizza when it arrives.
What?
And I always marvel at the restraint that entails. Like, even if by some fluke I haven't put it all on my dough balls, I'm probably just eating it straight out of the tureen before the pizza arrives.
Just shotting it.
Lapping it up like a kitten.
Mm. Yeah.
Not a tureen. What would you call it? The little...
Ramekin?
The ramekin. There we go. You guys, obviously, you don't do a podcast like this.
We do another podcast about different dishes.
Oh, yeah.
I'll sit there going, if I get it in a tureen, how is he not going to go for the pizza afterwards? That's humongous. Your starter. I felt like dough balls were the starter, but they're not.
No, it does feel a bit like the starter.
You've tricked us.
I think my starter is I think it's almost laughably simple, but it's a nice light touch after the dough balls, which are pretty heavy, particularly with the tureen of
women in.
I nearly said vat. I'm just always looking to upgrade.
By the end of this, it'll be me swimming in it in the strap. Oh, yeah. Just a bit full of garlic butter.
Yes. Like with one little like anti-pool of the red dip.
Yeah.
If it was socially acceptable, would you turn up to Pizza Express with a Strathmore bottle full of garlic butter?
It's so lovely.
Shaking it up as you walk through the door. I think you know what I'd like.
Doppio! No shirt on.
Great.
Let's turn this Pizza Express into a boober Express. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. Doesn't work.
It all works.
Pizza undressed, I should have said.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Pizza undressed.
Should have said pizza undressed.
The fact
but
that
I was so
pizza undressed was on the table and you said boober Express.
God.
It's a little morality tale and taking another second.
I'm losing it.
So I would just have, I think it's called a caprese, just a tomato mozzarella salad. But,
okay.
But big hunks of tomato, big hunks of mozzarella, loads of basil, bit of balsamic vinegar, maybe even some pine nuts as well, which aren't a traditional part of it, but I've started putting them on. You know when... there's that bit in the first episode of the new series of Fleabag where they're arguing and her sister, who's been on the podcast, says, putting pine nuts in everything doesn't make you an adult. And she goes, it fucking does. And I was so... I was watching that and it really hit me quite hard because I was right in the midst of my own private pine nut revolution.
Have you ever got pine mouth?
No.
So I've only heard about this thing where, like... I only know of one person it's happened to. Yeah. You have a bad pine nut, and then it makes your whole mouth go horrible.
Mm.
Actually, hold on. Oh, right. The one person who I know it's happened to is Ed Easton, and he sat downstairs. I'll go and get him, and I'll bring him up, and we'll quiz him about his pine mouth. Hold on a second.
What an incredible life.
this has never happened before. Ed Easton. Hopefully still here. Ed Easton from Gaines Family Gift Shop.
And now Taro.
And Taro, yeah. And Porters.
Soon to be known as...
as Pine Mouth Eddie.
Also, James said, have you ever had pine mouth? And then he said... the only person I've ever known to have had pine mouth.
So it's not a regular thing.
It's just, I don't know if he's remembered that Ed Easton is in the building before he's brought that up. This is so exciting.
Here he is.
He's genuinely here.
Yeah, he
hello, mate. You're right.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Very
well. You better sit in my seat. Okay.
Quickly.
Ed Easton is here from Sketch Group Gaines Family Gift Shop. Ed, we were just talking about pine nuts and I bought a pine mouth. I don't know enough about it to answer the questions.
The way it was introduced, he said, have you ever had pine mouth? Yeah. I only know one other person who's had pine mouth. So he's saying it's a thing, but he only knows you who's had
it's
it.
It's definitely a thing. Me and my flatmate both had it.
So what happens, Ed?
Nice and close to the mic.
Sorry, thank you very much. thanks for having me. Hello, everyone. Lovely to finally be invited onto the podcast.
Yes.
So pine mouth, what happens is... you have a pine nut that's sort of gone off, and then the oil inside the nut coats your tongue for ages, for like 2 weeks, and everything tastes really chemically.
For 2 weeks?
Yes, for fucking ages and everything. So can you swear on the podcast?
Yeah.
So it coats your tongue, and then everything tastes really chemically. Have you ever had that stuff that stops you biting your nails?
Yes.
Yeah, everything tastes like that.
Oh, God.
It's really bad. And then we found these pills that make everything taste really sweet, but they didn't work.
So you took some sweet pills.
Yeah.
You spent money on buying some sweet pills and they didn't work.
No, they were a lie.
They didn't work either.
No.
So you're in a pretty desperate situation.
Yeah, but neither of us knew, because we both shared the pine nuts things. So for about a week, we were both just off our food and being really weird with each other, because we were asking if we wanted to eat. And we were like, I'm not really, I'm not very hungry.
But you didn't and open up to us, each other that...
Not for ages.
And then, you didn't tell each other about
it. And then one of us is like, everything tastes weird, man. It's like, everything tastes so weird. It tastes horrible.
Have you had pine nuts since?
Yes.
So it's not put you off completely?
No, but it did for a while. For like a couple of years, I didn't have any pine nuts.
For like 2 years, no pine. When was your big one when you went back in?
Well, I went back in, and what happens is if you you can have like a resurgence. What's it called?
Oh, like, a relapse.
Yeah,
relapse,
you can have a, yeah, your tongue can have a relapse.
So your tongue relapsed, and did you get pine mouth again?
Yeah. Yeah, for a couple of days.
So you're 2 years.
I'm glad you're finding it very funny. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2 years not having any pine mouth, yeah. So then you went back in again.
Straight away.
So you got pine mouth again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Ed. We will have you on for a full episode.
I don't believe you.
do you want to promote anything?
No.
Any plugs?
Pine mouth?
Pine mouth. Pine mouth. Easter, everybody.
It's real. Bye.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks for that, mate.
You
know.
Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
Wow. What a revelation.
Yeah.
I told you I wasn't lying.
We didn't think you were lying.
Mm. Everyone think I was lying.
No one. We didn't have a chance to think you were lying because you literally went, have you ever had pine mouth? I know a guy who had pine mouth. He's downstairs. Wait there.
It was so...
I had to be quick. I didn't know if he'd be gone.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So you might put...
They're not going in now.
Yeah.
Not after... I don't want to be 2 weeks out of the game.
So you're just going with standard Caprese.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, is that so boring? It's just...
No, it's great. It's a nice...
a big tomato. Is there anything better?
The mozzarella's my favourite.
Well, the mozzarella, and now, of course, you've got this... I don't think it's a new thing, but a burrata.
Oh, burrata.
I love it.
It's so good.
Creamy.
Cream oozing out of a burrata.
It's so good. I buy a lot of burrata.
So really, I'm looking to blend the line here between just having a sort of standard minimalist caprese and actually just some big beef tomatoes around a burrata. a sort of monster caprese. But
no, that's what you're having.
I think yeah, in my
in the monster caprese.
In the monster caprese.
The monster caprese, I think, is what we're allowed to call it. In my early days of sort of trying to like do dinner parties in my early 20s, I would always do a tomato mozzarella salad as a starter because I thought having a starter really took things up a notch, but I couldn't cook two hot courses.
No.
Too stressful. I'm not a good enough cook.
It's a classy starter, and it's a good starter.
And people are so impressed when I revealed that there was a starter. But actually what happened was me putting quite a lot of the afternoon into a risotto and then 10 minutes before they arrived, realising that I hadn't done the starter and just hastily cutting up some tomato and some mozzarella in those sad bags that you get from supermarkets, just sort of trying to drain them in a hurry and just about get it and then tearing it. And then doing that fun thing with the basil where you've got one of those knives which is like a smile and you hold both ends on the chopping board and
yes.
It's left hand down up right hand down and it's such a fun way to chop herbs.
One of those knives that's like a smile.
Like a smile. That's such a lovely insight. What an innocent mind. It's like a smile.
Well, it's like a U.
Yeah.
I'm happy with smile. I think we got a smile.
One of those smiling
nice. And are you putting some olive oil on that?
Yeah, of course.
Oh yeah.
It's deceptive because obviously it's very filling, particularly if you're going with the monster caprese, but it feels mentally so light.
Yeah. I love it. Great starter.
Great.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The main course. We come to the main.
I think that my main is going to be... I don't know if anyone else... This is the main thing that people are indecisive about, right? Because it's the sure. the most important
the
one.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, it's not.
Sentimentally, the meal that is perhaps the most a sort of mental association for me is a carbonara at home cooked by my mum, because it's just so nice and wholesome, and it's what we have when we get together as a family. And but I don't like it actually as much as I like. Miso ramen, and that's what I want. I want miso ramen, really, and I'll, yes. I'll take us back to the Graham Hearth for dessert. And it's nothing to do with how nice the carbonara is, but I think no meal makes me more excited going out than the thought of having miso ramen. And it used to be on the Wagamama menu, and then it disappeared from the menu. And I actually wrote a letter to Wagamama once asking for them to put it back on.
Oh, no yes, reply. Please. Do you have that letter on you? Can you read it?
No, I don't have
you
it
You love
on
a letter?
I love a letter.
Well, hold on, you wrote a letter, not an email?
No, a letter.
A letter?
Yeah. So?
So my... One of my other favourite stories about you is a letter-based ever.
Is it Dave Gorman?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I also probably about the same time as writing to Wagamama, yeah. Also wrote to Dave Gorman. I'm sure I'm not the only person to have written to those two big beasts in the same summer.
Dave, you know this story, Joe.
Yes, I do. I would like him to tell it, please.
It's just after I started doing stand-up, and Dave Gorman was doing a stand-up tour where he cycled around the UK, and I asked if I could support him on that tour because, as I quote, I was a relatively new stand-up, but have been a keen cyclist for many years. didn't get a reply from Wagamama.
Did not get the gig.
Didn't get any of the gigs, but I did get a nice reply from Dave Gorman saying that he didn't tend to take a support, and if he did, it would probably be someone that he knew. And you've got to say that's fair enough, actually.
Yeah. Another Dave Gorman.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Where are you getting the ramen from then?
So my friend Matt and I have a thing where we've been trying to go to as many Wagamamas as we can over the last like 10 years.
Yeah,
and I think we've done a really sizable proportion of the ones in London and a few in Berkshire. But
pathetic. Absolutely pathetic attempt. Not even all the London ones. Yeah.
You can't start venturing out to Berkshire before you've completed London.
Well, but he lives in Berkshire.
Oh, so fair enough.
You've
just got the ones on your doorstep and seen it as nationwide challenge.
Well, here's the problem. Firstly, that you know it's hard to meet up with your friends too regularly, and also Wagamama, it's not great actually. when you start enjoying food, like Wagamama was so exciting as a teenager, mm-hmm. because it was like you were allowed to leave Eton on Saturday afternoons to go into Windsor.
Is this your universal observation?
Yeah.
It was so exciting as a teenager when you're allowed to leave Eton to go to Windsor on a Saturday.
Well, when you're allowed to leave any private school,
Windsor with you, a bunch of winged monkeys being freed from your cages.
No, that doesn't. I don't know what that means. Are we the winged monkeys?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Oh, right, sorry.
And the headmistress is the witch.
I haven't seen The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, right.
No,
sorry. See, that I made a reference to it earlier with you being behind a curtain eating curry as well.
Yeah, I know. I let that one go.
If
it's one Wizard of Oz reference per course, it's done like quite a busy podcast. I mean, who hasn't seen The Wizard of Oz but has been to four different Wagamamas in Berkshire? But after the failure of my letter, I would always just have like the chicken ramen, but it's rubbish. And yeah. I've never had a meal that I've
not enjoyed as many times as I've had the chicken ramen from Wagyu. I'm thinking, oh, maybe this time it'll be a bit more miso-y, but it's just not.
Yeah.
But there's a place in London called, well, there's Bone Daddy's, which does Bone Daddy's together. Nice. But I think you took me to Bone Daddy's for the first time. Maybe I'd confided in you that I was struggling to look for a sort of more ramen options. And Matt and I have now been to Bone Daddy's, which is good, but it doesn't help the Wagamama project at all. But I think the Wagamama project may be done. But there's a place called the Tortoise and Hare.
I've not been to that one.
And that has an amazing miso ramen. And it's just anything like Asian and brothy.
Yeah.
I'm just such a big fan of. And I love going to Red Box in Edinburgh, which is obviously isn't a sort of ramen broth, but just seeing everything get chucked in.
Describe Red Box to people who don't know it.
Oh, it's an instant noodle place in the centre of Edinburgh. Cash only. Burnt by that usually once a year.
Yeah.
But I respect their commitment to that, even though goodness knows the reasons, but it's just the most, I'd say it's most comics is like most visited restaurant in Edinburgh,
that
and the Moss Kitchen, because they're just both quick and they're central, and it's just loads of salt, really.
Although I'd say my now most visited restaurant in Edinburgh is actually Mackie and Ramen, which is a ramen place. It's, I think, got three branches in Edinburgh now, and it's belting ramen.
Miso ramen?
I think so.
I love miso. That's the key, really. I just love miso so much.
But you could make that at home, right? You could get some miso paste and
miso sachets.
Yeah.
At school, I used to have a lot of miso. And that school's Eton College again, I'm afraid. That's not hiding behind at school.
Cat, what's that school?
But I used to love getting loads of those boxes of miso sachets from Sainsbury's, and because they were quite strict rules on like having food outside of meal hours, but there was a hot water machine, so you could they couldn't stop me making tea. But I used to think that I was really like
found
just
the
loophole king, just having just so much miso all the time, and my bedroom
Ferris
just
Bueller
honked of miso. I haven't seen it. seems so few.
It's when Ferris Bueller basically bunks off school and goes to Windsor.
Okay,
yeah. But he's not supposed to go to Windsor that day, but he goes to Windsor anyway.
Well, it sounds like a great and relatable movie.
Yeah.
But
we've got to stop doing film references now, because Ivo has clearly seen somehow less films than Michael Owen.
I know.
Yeah.
Looks up to Michael Owen.
I like Michael
Owen.
How does he find the time? but I just, I think a nice miso ramen with lots of bean sprouts. They're my favourite bit. And also, I went to this place the Heron Tortoise with my friend Ramya, and I was quite soon after the first episode of Off Menu had come out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think with Aisling or someone, or maybe that was one of the early ones.
And
we were talking about it, and that was where I had my first miso ramen in about 7 years. And so it feels like it's a lovely completion.
Yeah,
of the sort.
Yes. Very nice. Where is this place, Tortoise and Hare place?
I think there's a few, and I know it's very London-centric. I think Bone Daddy's is only in London, and I think Tortoise and Hare is only in London. I think there's three. The one we went to is near Fleet Street, I think.
Oh.
But it's such a nice. I wanted a big brothy main. I think
a big brothy main.
I love ramen so much.
Yeah,
there's. I mean, tonkotsu in London as well.
That's
so yeah,
nice.
Again, very London centric. But yeah, tonkotsu, Ippudo. Mm. Canada, yeah.
That's what's so depressing about just going to Wagamama over and over again is you really are shutting the door on so many more experiences.
Japan? You should go to Japan.
Did they have Wagamama in Japan?
Oh, so much of it. And they've still got the miso ramen on the menu.
You and your friend haven't been to Japan, Wagamama, yet?
We've got to finish Berkshire. That's the rule.
It's Wagamama number one. It's the first one.
The original Wagamama.
The original Wagamama.
We want our last UK Wagamama to be a Wagamama at Heathrow before we fly to Japan to kick off the new chapter. But yeah, that's it's nice. And I don't know whether I'd have meat in it because I'm trying to do less.
You have an egg.
There should be an egg in there already.
Yeah, but
you order extra egg.
Always order an extra egg.
Always order an
James
extra egg.
James Acaster rules.
Yep, which I copied from Amy Annette.
Yeah,
our friend Amy Annette always orders extra egg. I copied her. I live by it.
That's great. I love finding an egg in the broth. It's so great. Sometimes I push it down into it.
Just to you hide it.
Hide
and
it
then
for
hide
try
it
and
for yourself.
Where it was.
So you can find it later on.
Yeah,
you hide it, deliberately try and forget about it, and then later on it's a nice little surprise for you.
That's exactly it.
Well, hello, old fellow.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine you say when you say the egg.
when the waiter turns his back, secretly pouring in garlic butter from your Strathmore bottle.
I've got another Strathmore full of miso. Extra. that's what I should be taking to Wagamama's with.
I always, if there's like chili oil available on the tables at ramen places, I always over chili. Uh-huh. So I see it as very. Sure. If I feel like I'm getting a cold, I always go for ramen because I feel like I can sweat it out.
Yeah.
I do end up blowing my nose quite a lot.
It's quite undignified ramen, I'd say. So. And I think that. I wouldn't have it in sort of all company if it was any sort of business lunch. But in the dream restaurant, I'm just eating alone, right?
You're eating alone. Like, cool,
so it's your dream.
Yeah, we can all of us.
We can not look at you.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Dream restaurant. It's it's me on my own. Just
headphones in.
Top off.
I think probably watching Match of the Day, and I don't know the scores. I think that's as good as it gets. I think.
Your lovely broth is accompanied by
loads of seaweed.
Loads of seaweed.
Just loads of seaweed.
Sort of seaweed?
You know, like you get at the beginning at a Chinese restaurant.
So Chinese seaweed.
Yes.
Deep fried, crispy.
Yes. With what's all that orange stuff?
No one knows.
It's just great, though, isn't it?
No one knows what the powder is, but it's amazing.
It's
such
nice.
A good call, Ivo. I had not thought about this since I did. I love Chinese seaweed.
Oh, he's excited.
And it's such a big quantity of it as well.
I haven't seen it like this in ages.
I think if we're allowed another tureen, this one is full of Chinese seaweed.
A tureen of Chinese seaweed.
I find it very difficult if I go for a Chinese meal not to not just to get too excited and have so many of things at the beginning. Mm. But the best bit, and there's never enough because it's just such tiny little flakes, is the seaweed.
So this is a weird coincidence because this week I had a Chinese takeaway and I never ordered seaweed, but I ordered seaweed probably for the first time and I did not like it.
What?
Oh no.
And it was the crispy seaweed with the orange dust on it. And I was like, do you know what? Actually, maybe not.
What's there not to like? It's just crispy, lovely, deep fried loveliness.
I think it was a bit too salty for me at the time.
It is quite salty.
It's not seaweed though, is it?
What?
It's not actually seaweed.
Oh no.
I don't think Chinese. Seaweed is deep fried spring greens or cabbage. There you go.
I don't mind. I love cabbage. But it's called seaweed in
It's called seaweed. Look. Mm.
And is sushi wrapped in seaweed or is that wrapped in?
No, that's nori. That is seaweed. I think Chinese seaweed is such a good shout. I'm very disappointed to hear that, James.
I'm so sorry.
But, fair enough.
But it's just such a weird coincidence. I never have it. I had it for the first time this week. I've had it before, but I've never ordered it.
Mm.
First time this week, I give it a go. And now it's on the menu.
It's very salty.
I think it's a bit of, again, a side where I get excited by the thought of there being an infinite amount of it as opposed to restaurants where there's never enough because it's really quite decorative. And also, again, I'm eating alone, so I just can...
You can go face first into that tureen.
Yeah.
Your drink?
A Virgin Mary.
Wow.
No one was expecting that.
Wow. What's wrong with the Virgin Mary?
You know what's wrong with it. You know what's you looked absolutely delighted.
You're so pleased with yourself when you said
fully
a Virgin Mary.
Expected a reaction.
Well, I haven't got the reaction yet. You're making me react in anticipation of the reaction.
Well, we're absolutely stunned, aren't we?
Well, I thought.
What did you
I've
think I was going to have?
A cold bottle of commercial lager.
I suppose so. Yeah, I do like that, and I've increasingly started moving in the IPA direction, and those are very flavoursome. Yes. You know, maybe one of those cans of neck oil with those cartoons, which I still feel like I haven't really sort of seen everything in a cartoon yet. There's so much going on. But I thought it would be nice not to have any alcohol and to enjoy just a Virgin Mary, which is also spicy.
Yeah,
sure.
A really nice and spicy. Basically, I love Big Tom, which is the spiced tomato juice.
Yes.
And...
Not Tom Davis.
But I'm also a big fan of his work. Yeah. And I think my dream would be to appear on Murder and Success Phil and to be drinking a Big Tom at some point in the process. Yeah. And we can
get Big Tom Davis to bring you your drink if you want.
He's not next door as well, is he?
Let me get... Hold on.
I mean, that's real genie stuff there, just being able to summon people at will from the next room.
When I said Ed Easton was in the building, he actually wasn't. I magicked him up.
Yeah.
But you can't magic check up Tom Davis?
No. I've drained myself of all my powers to today. I can just do the food from now on.
So yeah, Big Tom.
And so as I've started to get into drinking more beer, you've very quickly fall into a pattern of like having just one or two beers at home every night, and I became wary of just exactly what that direction that was going in and how fast. So I ordered so much Big Tom off the internet. You got it, and they come in little cans, which is annoying because my favourite is a big glass bottle. The dream for a collector of small glass bottles,
of course,
a big glass bottle is the absolute dream.
You rock it up to gigs with a Big Tom bottle full of water.
Oh man! Oh no, no.
I like to imagine that the Big Tom bottle is full of tiny glass bottles of water. So it's a big bottle for a small bottle.
Yeah, of course. That is an engineer's dream, and I'd love to see it. So I remember once at university, the University of Oxford, when we had formal dinners, they had these amazing, not amazing, they were just glass bottles, but I loved them, and they had, what's it called, the flip top. On a glass bottle.
The cork
that flips out.
The cork that flips out and is attached.
Yes.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Or those ones with the little lever.
Glottal stop. Something it's like a stop.
What?
Something like something stop. A bottle stop. A bottle stop.
A bottle stop.
A glottal stop. A Harry Potter thing.
I think a glottal stop.
That's a linguistic thing.
It is a linguistic thing.
A bottle stop. Mm. Bottle stop.
Sure. Yeah. Everyone knows what we're talking about by now.
Yeah. The thing, the cork on a gate.
Yeah.
And listen, this. I didn't sort of revel in the pageantry of going to Union and all of that awful snobby rubbish, but the bottles did have the name of the college on that was and so it's more like just attached to the memory of like having these silly formal dinners at Union pretending you were sort of older than you were, and someone. A friend of mine went back to uni for like an old members dinner, and because I'd reminisced to him about it, he nicked one of the college glass bottles with the bottle stop in and brought it for me as a present, and I'd say top 10 presents ever. The combination of a souvenir glass bottle and nostalgia for younger, more innocent days is just so up my street, and that's never leaving the house.
So we could put the Virgin Mary in that.
Would you glug it out of that?
Yeah. No, I would. I'd still decant it, but I'd just love to see it on the table. And also because there's other stuff. Like I want a big stick of celery. Mm-hmm. I want some big cubes of ice. I just it's such a, and it doesn't really fit with the rest of the meal, but it is hard to make all the meal fit together. It's such a sort of 1 p.m. in at a pub on a summer's day drink, of, and it's attached to so many memories of optimism. Having a virgin memory,
a virgin memory.
That could have been the title of your debut show.
Yeah, virgin memory. Absolutely beautiful. The best slip of the tongue I've heard in a while. I've got a virgin memory.
Just brings back so many virgin memories.
Yeah, so I'm swigging a Virgin Mary, reminiscing virgin memories, and there's an unwieldily large bit of celery which I'm working my way through, and if later on in the evening, you know, as Match of the Day enters, it's the sort of lesser games. If you could, if you topped it up with maybe a little bit of vodka,
okay.
I don't know when that's happening. That's sort of that.
So you want this Virgin Mary to?
I want it to lose
its virginity.
I want it like me to lose its virginity at an unwieldily late stage.
But you don't want to know about it.
I don't really want to know.
You want the waiter to fuck Mary behind your back.
Yeah, that's it. Oh no, Ed.
I don't want to have to do any of this. I'll distract you by bringing Ed Easton in. That's what I'll do. He'll suddenly appear.
But right. Does that? I mean, I know it's a bit of a stupid drink.
No, I like it.
And it's not really an evening meal with your ramen and your seaweed. It's just. I think it is. I think a really spicy tomato juice.
Yeah,
Big Tom.
In an Oxford bottle,
which you own 10 gallons of. Yeah. How much Big Tom do you own?
I think it was 96 cans.
What the? the hell is the matter with me?
They were little. I think I.
I think you should just admit you're an alcoholic and get rid of the 96 cans of Big Tom is way more worrying than just having a few beers.
Also, most people when they're like, I'm drinking too much, it seems like people pouring booze down the sink, not filling their house with more liquid. I better get in loads of Big Tom. 96, not 100. I don't want to seem like a maniac. I'll get 96 cans. No.
What I'll do is I'll buy boxes and boxes of cans.
Trays. They were slabs. They were lovely slabs.
Slabs of Big Tom, just to physically block myself from the beer.
Oh no! Well, it was annoying. We moved about halfway through my Big Tom odyssey. And as the move date approached, I stepped up my consumption to try and finish them. Yeah.
And we arrive at your dessert, the greatest dish of all.
I think I'm going to disappoint James with the dessert. Because I do like desserts, but I just don't have desserts that often.
I don't know. I don't like where this is going.
I don't.
And I don't feel good.
I feel great.
We have, and I told you we'd return to the Graham hearth. And we're back at my parents' house. And my mum will occasionally make some lovely, like, crumbles. Apple crumbles up there, nice apple crumble.
Yeah, that's nice.
But I think what I'm probably going to have is just a banana cut up in Yo Valley yogurt.
What the fuck? What? I was almost stealing myself with cheese and biscuits, and it's somehow worse. A banana cut up in Yo Valley yogurt. You absolute trash man. You trash man with your trash family.
The Graham hearth. Back of the Graham hearth. What's going to be in the Graham hearth? A chopped up banana.
Chopped up banana in a Yo Valley yogurt.
Yeah. Well, because my dad, that's his favourite thing.
What? What? Who is he? How is that his favourite thing?
Because my dad can't really. He doesn't cook.
No, so,
that is clear.
No, he barely eats, for the sound of things.
He doesn't barely eat. He has a lovely. So it's either that or Petit Filou.
What? I mean, Petit Filou. What? One on its own? A Petit Filou on its own, or with the chopped up banana?
No.
Putting loads of different Petit Filous all over the one banana.
No, there's no banana with the Petit Filou. The Petit Filou is just on its own. If we don't have banana, but we do have Petit Filou.
Are you five?
Well, no, I'm 29 and my dad's 48. 58. Doesn't matter. It's his. Usually, it'll be my mum or increasingly my brother who cooks a lot, who'll put a lot of effort into a big main, usually a lovely carbonara, and then pudding will be a bit of a bits and bobs afterthought. So there will be some cheese and biscuits, maybe some grapes, but my dad's favourite, and his sort of eyes light up, and he says, "Oh, you wouldn't chop a banana into some yogurt for me, would you?"
And I would say, "No, I wouldn't."
Now I'm afraid I've spent the last 2 decades of my life drinking that Kool-Aid.
Hell, the Cratchits, Bob Cratchit's family on Christmas Day.
And you put brown sugar on if that's one you when you're back over.
Occasion.
Brown sugar elevates it slightly.
Yeah, and also you watch the brown sugar sort of to dissolve in such a lovely golden way.
Yes, I'm aware of how brown sugar sinks into a yogurt.
It looks lovely.
I'm familiar with that visual. And it does not save any of this.
And a bit of squeezy honey as well.
Okay.
Ideally.
Fine.
So
squeezy honey and brown sugar has made it better, but like still, this is the absolutely. Also, Yo Valley makes me angrier.
Well, it doesn't have to be Yo Valley.
Up a banana maybe into a Greek natural yogurt and having some brown sugar and honey in it. Why are you even bothering?
Because I think
the way you must have known the way your dad what asks, reaction this was going to
yeah,
get.
Yeah, the way your dad asks for it as well. Oh, you wouldn't mind chopping up a banana?
No, he doesn't say that. He says, you know what I like. And
everyone goes, yes, the most boring thing in the world.
No, it's not the most boring thing in the world. It's something sort of simple and rustic about it. And from a very young age, I was able, as a man, I knew something I could do that could make my dad happy, and that was to cut banana into some Yo Valley yogurt and sprinkle some brown or muscovado sugar on top, and I'd have it as well, and everyone else would scoff much as you have, but it's basically my dad, particularly when he's spending like my mum's not around for whatever reason, will live very much like a divorced man.
man who's got no idea how to fend for himself. So he'll have beans on toast, and he'll have banana yogurt for pudding, and and those are two of my favourite things.
I love it.
I'm sorry that I didn't go for beans on toast as my main.
I wouldn't have cared. Beans on toast is your main. I would have thought, well, it's probably gearing up for a really good dessert.
Well, what sort of pudding? You know, would you? I mean, I guess the apple crumble would have been a nice.
How dare you?
But it doesn't make me as happy.
I could see James was gripping the corner of the table and he had his mouth open because he thought you were going to say cheese and biscuits.
No.
Yeah. And then you relaxed when you said apple crumble, and then you hit him with the 1-2 of banana. Well, the whole thing was a roller coaster. Yogurt.
Because as soon as Ivo started saying, "Well, I'm not," to be honest, I don't like puddings. I thought, how have I not anticipated that Ivo would go for cheese and biscuits? Of course he's going to go for cheese and biscuits. It's so on brand.
So then I'm like,
oh, how could I have been so blind? Chastising myself, preparing myself for cheese and biscuits, and then even worse, even though banana's my favourite fruit.
Great. So that's a good start.
So when you said chopped up banana, I was like, okay, well, maybe we're going somewhere nice with this. In a Yo Valley natural yogurt, and then trying to eke it back with the sugar.
Well, I've not riffed that off the cuff. That's, you know, ask any of the Graham family.
Chopped up banana isn't a dessert though. It's something you could give to a sloth in a zoo.
Yes.
Well, you know,
keep your palm flat.
I'm pleased to know that my selection is so applicable across the animal kingdom. The sloth's not going to have enjoyed the miso ramen with a Virgin Mary slowly losing its virginity. But I'm glad to win him or her back with their favourite dessert.
Right, I'm going to read you this your order back now. And let me tell you, I didn't realise this during the episode, but looking back at it now, it is all over the shop. It's absolutely all over the place, this. Still Strathmore for your water, and you would like to take the bottle home.
Yeah, exactly.
Pizza Express Dough Balls, Doppio with the red dip taken away and replaced with a garlic butter.
Another garlic butter.
Starter, a Monster Caprese. Main, Miso Ramen from Tortoise and Hare. Side, loads of crispy seaweed. Drink, Virgin Mary that gradually loses its virginity during match of the day. And the dessert, a banana cut up in Yo Valley yogurt with some muscovado sugar sprinkled on top that you slowly watch sink into the yogurt, along with all of my dreams of a good dessert.
I think it's a lovely meal.
I think it started really thematically consistent, and then this it took some really wild turns.
Who has ordered 96 bottles of Big Tom for himself. Cans of Big Tom.
Mini cans.
They're very little cans. They're annoyingly little.
And in an attempt to visit all the Wagamamas, has visited some London ones and some Berkshire ones.
Thank you very much for coming in, Ivo.
Sorry for annoying you both so much.
Thank you, Ivo.
Ivo Graham there.
Oh, Ed, I'm fuming.
That is one of my favourite moments, one of my favourite course reveals we've ever had on the podcast.
Oh, speak for yourself.
He took you through it, didn't he? And you absolutely lost your mind. No one was expecting chopped up banana in Yo Valley natural yoghurt.
It's not even, that shouldn't be allowed, Ed. It should not be allowed. He's not eating enough stuff to know what he likes, in my opinion.
Look, I agree. If you're going for a dream restaurant, why are you chopping up a banana as Yo Valley yoghurt? But when he talks about the connection he has with his father over that as a dish, I think it's wonderful. That's what food's all about, making connections with other humans.
Sure, yeah, I'll accept that bit, but yeah, I think that's something that he needs to work out in his own time.
Are you saying, why can't they make their connection over a lovely ice cream or something?
Yes, why can't they make their connection over a big old milkshake full of chocolate bars?
Because, look, the Grahams are a rakish, slim family, you know. That's natural yogurt and banana, and then they go for a whole run.
That's all the joy they get out of life.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least he didn't say quince.
Yes, he didn't say quince. That's fine, luckily. So he stayed in the restaurant for the whole meal. Well done, Ivo Graham.
Well done, Ivo.
Go and check out Ivo's stuff. Go on Twitter, find him on Twitter, and see what he's up to.
Absolutely. Ed, what are you up to?
Oh, I don't know. It depends when this is being released. I'm normally doing something. If you go on my Twitter, at @AgainWillComedy, you can probably find something on there about what I'm up to. James, what are you doing?
Well, in a minute, I'm about to go to the very nice people at Burger and Lobster, which is the place that I like eating at anyway. Yes. I love the lobster roll.
Yes.
Lobster roll is delicious at Burger and Lobster. Shout out to that. But they've invited me to go and try some. They're doing some spicy lobster nuggets.
Hmm.
I'm going to try them for the first time, and I will absolutely shout it out on the show because I want more people to invite me to try new dishes at their food eateries.
Hey, look, if you want to invite me and James to come and eat stuff at your restaurant, we are up for it.
Yeah, I don't even care how grubby this sounds. Do a little beg on the podcast.
Oh, it's not a beg.
Not a beg.
I'm open to it.
Ain't too proud to beg.
Ain't too proud to beg. And thank you, by the way, to Cafe Pod for sending me some of your coffee.
Speaking of?
I already buy your pods, so you've absolutely wasted your money there. So I'm looking forward to drinking that. Also, we've been sent a beautiful book called For the Love of Food, which is an incredible like coffee table book, which is all about sustainable food producers in the UK and just beautiful black and white photos and information about them. I've already seen a lovely picture of an old man called John who makes Arbroath Smokies.
Really? I don't even know what they are, but they sound great.
And I'm gonna put that on my coffee table. I'm gonna peruse it when people come over. And go, I'm just really into sustainable UK food, guys.
Also, big thank you to Ed Easton on this podcast.
Oh yeah, thank you, Ed Easton,
the Pine Mouth Boy. You can find Gaines Family Gift Shop, his sketch group,
and Taro, his other
in two sketch groups, Taro and Gaines Family Gift Shop. They're on Twitter, as is Ed himself.
Yes.
So much funny content from that boy.
And I did say to him just then when he was up here, I said, we'll get you on for a full episode soon. And he said, I don't believe you.
Yes.
So now we have to get him on for a full episode. Otherwise, I'll be rendered a liar.
Yes.
So look forward to an episode from him soon. Thank you very much for listening. Come back to the restaurant again soon. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Hello, my name's Rob Orton and I do the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. The Rob Orton Daily Podcast is a daily podcast that is quite short, summer 2 minutes long, some are 10 minutes long, and they are stories and poems and basically all the thoughts I've ever had that I like enough to want to share with people. And the Rob Orton podcast is available on Apple, Acast, Spotify, all the other places where you normally get your podcasts, and on social media it is at Rob Orton podcast. Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
if you enjoy, well, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.